You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning. Fantastic. I've really enjoyed worship this morning. Fantastic. I don't know. So we pray more and more of this. I've got a few minutes to share just a few things that have, I think what people have said, the songs we prayed, and I mean we sang, and what some people have prayed, it kind of points me towards this is the right message for us now. And as I say, I don't preach for a long time, just quick snap, quick, and then we go. Now, today I'm going to talk about our identity in Christ. And the text we're going to read just one text, which is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, which says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim and the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now you are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So that's our text this morning. We're trying to unpack it slightly. Every one of us, when you meet somebody, normally they introduce themselves. And I can show you these different cultural differences. In the UK, you meet somebody, said, "Oh, my name is Canute, and what's your name?" And you say, "What you do for job?" You know, "I'm an accountant, I'm a teacher, I'm a whatever." In Africa, it's slightly different. They don't ask you what you do for job. They ask you how many children you've got. "I've got 6 children, or 2 children." And what I'm trying to say is, always we're trying to find our identity either in our jobs, either in our family, either in our hobbies, either in other things. My family and I like to watch BBC, Who Do You Think You Are? And when you watch that program, we don't know these people, they are celebrities, but you go through the journey with them when they're trying to discover themselves by looking at the people, their ancestors, you know. Normally they choose the good side, you know, if you've got... I remember we watched Matthew Pinsent. I don't know whether you watched that. Now, Matthew Pinsent, he went and they found the scroll of his family, and it goes all the way back to royalty, and then from there, it goes to Adam and Adam God. So his line, it says Matthew Pinsent, it goes all the way to God. Anyway, each one of us have their own ancestry. But when we became Christians, we change our identity. We belong to the kingdom of God. Our identity is rooted, we are given new identity. The day we say, "Jesus, come into my life," we were given a new identity. We became the children of God. We became the family of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as they received him, to them he gave them power to become the children of God. To those who believed in his name, they were born not of blood, but of the will of the, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but the will of God. So the day we say, "Jesus, come into my life," Jesus comes into our lives and we become part of the family of God. So the first thing is our identity is rooted in our relationship with Christ. We are not apart from Christ. When we are apart from Christ, we are nothing, the Bible says. But when we become part of Christ, when we become Christians, we become one with Christ, as Andrew prayed this morning. So we become Christians. The Bible says that for the first time, Christians, the name Christians was a church in Corinth, in Antioch. They were called Christians. And I'm trying to understand how they felt that, why they started calling these new believers or disciples, starting calling them Christians. And I'm not sure about it, but I'm thinking, they saw the lives of these disciples of Jesus, and they compared to what they've heard about Jesus, and they felt they're like Christians. You know, they're like Christ in the way they conduct their lives, in the way they interact with other people, in the way they raise their children. So the Bible, in the Greek, it says Christanos. They are like Christians. They're like Christs. So when we become Christ, when we give our life, we're given a new identity. Now, going back to our text, the first thing is talking about the chosen generation. To me, this shows that our identity is not random. God has chosen each and every one of us. God has interest in each of every one of us. You may not know why you were born in your family, but in the kingdom of God, there was no accident. God chose you from the foundation of the world that you will become a child of God. You will become part of this generation. I mean, I was born in Tanzania. I live in Hereford now. All these things were ordained by God. The Bible says that our times and our places, they're ordained by God. But our position in the kingdom of God is also ordained by God. God wanted each of one of us to be part of his kingdom. So you are chosen. Doesn't matter how you were born, but in the kingdom of God, you are chosen. You are no accident. The other thing is, the other verse is talking about the royal priesthood. It can't sound loaded, but it means we are kings and priests. In the Old Testament, when God called out the nation of Israel, the Bible says in Exodus 19, that he wanted to be the kingdom of priests. He wanted that everyone in the kingdom, in the nation of Israel, to be priests. But as time went on, God singled out one tribe, the tribe of Levi. So they were the priests. So their job was to perform all the sacrifices to mediate between God and the nation of Israel. But when you read in the New Testament, that has changed. God wants all of us to be priests and kings. It says in Revelation 5, that verse 10, it says, he has made us to be kings and priests to God. And I'm thinking, what does priests and kings mean? It means that priests are the ones who went into the presence of God. They are the one, only one who are given access to the presence of God. We come to the book of the Hebrews. It says that God has given us, it says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God. We don't need any mediation because Jesus has opened the curtain that we can all go to the presence of God. That's why we are priests, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace in times of need. So I was brought up a Roman Catholic, not a very good one, but that's how I was brought up until, anyway, for some reason, when I was a teenager, maybe 10 or 12, the family decided to stop going to church. I don't know why. Now, in the Roman Catholic, you have this mediation. You know, like, if I want to confess my sin, I have to go to the priest, to the confession, and say, this is what I've done or whatever. And sometimes there are things you can't tell them because they're human, you know. But when we become Christian, we don't need that. We go straight to the presence of God. We go to God and say, this is what I've done wrong. This is where I need your help. We don't need a mediation. Now, the other thing is talking about the kings. What does that mean for us to be kings? We've said today that kings are those who rule. They got authority over situations. And God has given us authority. The Bible says that... Sorry. Gosh, that's embarrassment. Well, that's my wife there in Tanzania, so she wanted a video call. So as kings, that means we've been given authorities. So when we pray from the point of authority. We're not praying from the area, point of weakness, but we are praying as kings and priests to God, as it says. So that's the royal priesthood. The other one is, it's talking about the holy nation. Now, I'll be talking about examples from Roman Catholic here now. To be holy in the Bible is talking about something to be pure, something to be blameless. So before God, we are blameless. It doesn't matter what we've done. We've received forgiveness, and the Christ's sacrifice is complete. Nothing is holding back. There's no sin that's so grave that he cannot forgive. There's nothing that we can do that his sacrifice is not sufficient. His sacrifice is sufficient to cleanse us and to make us holy. The Bible said that he wants to present us holy before God. So he calls us, the Bible says, we are a holy nation. Now, when I became a Christian, so talking about my background in Roman Catholic, when I became a Christian, I discovered that people can be holy. In the Bible, you read that Paul is saying, for the saints who are in Corinth, for the saints who are in Ephesus. Now, if you're coming from a Roman Catholic background, you do not become saint while you're alive. You have to die first. When you die, then the Pope and the cardinals, they canonize you. They said, I think Canute was holy or whatever. Now, when I became Christian, I thought, that's very strange, because the Bible is saying in Psalms 16, verse 3, that God is pleased with the saints who are on earth. So there are saints who are on earth. You don't have to die to become a saint. You are a saint when you become a Christian. Now, so when I became a Christian, so to me, that was a huge revelation. I started calling my friends saints. So if I, you know, how are you, saints? And even nowadays, when I text, you see, I say, oh, God bless you, saints. And because sometimes this identity is somehow robbed of us, because we think that we don't qualify, as if our qualification is because of what we do or we have to die first before we become saints. But the Bible says here that we are a holy nation. You are holy, not because of what you've done. You are holy because the one who's called you is holy. The Bible says that let's be holy because he who called us is holy. Jesus has called us holy. And as I said, holy means we are special people. We've been set aside for his service. We've been set aside for his glory. And the final one, it says that God's own special people. That in God we have a special place in his heart. Our identity is that we are very special to God. We may not be special to our family members or our friends or whoever, but in the eyes of God, we are very special. Now, so why all this identity? Why are we a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people? It says, so that we may proclaim the praise of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So to me, that comes the second bit, which is the purpose. In our identity, there is a purpose. The purpose is so that we may proclaim the praise of God. It says I know I don't come from this tradition anyway. In the Westminster Catechism, it says the chief. Does anyone know how it says? The chief end of man. Have you heard of this phrase? Yeah. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So God has called us. The purpose is so that we can proclaim his praise. And I like the word is to proclaim, is to shout out, to tell everyone. And we're telling them what? We're telling them our testimony that he's taken us out of darkness, something that has happened to us. You know, you remember the start of this year, we're talking about discipleship, and because sometimes we think we need to know this theological debate to know to explain things. But here, God called us so that the purpose is so that we can proclaim his praise. And we can proclaim his praise like we've done this morning. We're singing loud, shouting to the heavens and to the spiritual realm, saying, this is our God, how wonderful he is, and things like that. But also, we proclaim his praise by our own lifestyle. We live our life such that, it says in the book of Peter, that people glorify God by seeing our lives. When our lives reflect what Christ has done in us, reflect the grace of God in us, then people praise God. So the purpose is we serve God. We proclaim his praise by our praises and by our lifestyle. And final thing is verse 10, which says that we were not a people, but we are now the people of God. We had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. And I know sometimes it's very hard to understand the implication of not being known or not having... Okay, let me give you an example. I was born in Tanzania, so my original nationality was Tanzanian, okay? So I grew up in Tanzania, and then I decided to come to UK, and then I changed my nationality into British. Whereas other people taking what's for granted, I had to do an oath and whatever it is so that I can become British. Now, the implication is, if I travel in the world, I travel now with a different identity. I've got a different passport, not the original one. Even when I go to Tanzania and something happens, I'll go to the British embassy and say, please, can you get me out of this here? Because they've changed my identity. They've changed my... So when we're saying we were not a people, we were nowhere. But now we belong to the family of God. We are the people of God. And to me, that's mind-blowing. That comes with all the privileges that comes being in the family of God. We've got all the privilege. We can, as I said, somebody say, oh, but your name sounds Tanzanian. But I said, forget about my name. I've got a different identity, which says that I should be whatever. Anyway, I don't want to be political. But what I'm trying to say is we have a different privilege. We've got a privilege before God because of our identity in Christ. God has changed us, has given us a purpose, and has given us privilege. I want just to finish to say, we need to remember our identity in Christ. In the Bible, in the New Testament, it talks about different things we are in Christ, which I didn't want to go into that because I just want to create a framework through which people can understand our identity. Our identity is rooted in Christ. We are forgiven because of Christ. We are redeemed. We are set apart. We are counted as holy. All these things, we are kings and priests because of what Christ has done. And this is so that we can glorify and give praise to who that delivers from the darkness into the light. So my message is very simple. Let us all go from here, remembering who we are in Christ. Our identity is rooted in Christ. Our identity is not rooted in what we do, because we did nothing first before we met Christ. The Bible says, while we were yet sinner, Christ died for us. He loved us first. So we didn't love him. He loved us first. That's why we say we are a chosen generation. He chose us. So let's remember our identity in Christ. That who we are in Christ, whatever we're going through, let's remember that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation, God's own people, so that we can give his praise. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this revelation that we are rooted in you. We thank you that you are the vine and we are the branches. We thank you, Lord, everything that we do and everything that we are is derived from you, Father God. Father, I pray that this revelation will be strong in our hearts, in our minds, that who we are in you, Lord, we are rooted, we are firm, we are established in you. Father, we pray, as we've been prayed before, that the privilege we have and we use it for the extension and for the glorification of your name. So, Father, we pray for those who are not here, those who need the touch of your presence. God, we pray that you'll touch them wherever they are. Those who need healing amongst us, those who need deliverance, those who need provisions, Father, you'll provide. Because, God, you're a God who loves us. You've called us your own special people. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for revealing all this to us. And help us to walk in this truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.